This is PCJ Radio International.
Hello, I'm Keith Parent, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. This past week, there's one story that I have been following, and that is the story of American journalist David Sattler, who has been barred from entering Russia. He works for the U.S.-financed Radio Liberty. Now, the reason why this story is, I find, interesting is it really sounds like something from the Cold War era. Now, just to give you a little bit of background of what was going on here, David Sattler went to Ukraine, the Ukrainian capital of Kiev, to pick up his new one-year visa, as promised by the authorities. He was told the complete organs that he was an undesirable presence in Russia. Now, he has been a critic of the regime, as well as many other journalists, so it all seemed very strange to him. Well, this is how the media has been covering it. First, we're going to take a listen to how media in the United States and then in Russia has been portraying this. But first, this is an interview that David Sattler gave to Wolf Blitzer on CNN International.
You wrote a powerful article in the Wall Street Journal today, among other things. David, you write this. You say, the Russian decision to declare me persona non grata is more than an action against a single journalist. It is an admission that the system under President Vladimir Putin cannot tolerate free speech, even in the case of foreign correspondence. And you say this is an ominous sign, even though you're the first American journalist expelled from Russia in a long, long time.
That's absolutely true. The first, as far as I know, since the Cold War. But it's an ominous sign because the expulsion of even one journalist is a warning to every journalist. And it's intended to encourage self-censorship. It's encouraged to create a psychology in which people feel that there are some subjects that they can't raise. And Russia's a country that has a lot of secrets.
The Russians claim that you're to blame for your expulsion because you waited 5 days to renew your visa, get a multiple entry visa. They say that you didn't follow the rules, and that's why you no longer are welcome there. To that, you say...
Well, to that I say they can say anything they want. What happened in effect is that the document that I needed in order to get a visa was not given to me. They told me that there were some problems. They would give it to me in a couple of days and that I could take it later. I couldn't get the visa without that document. They sat on it. So it was a situation which they created themselves specifically to have an excuse, something that they could say in order to confuse opinion in the world once the news got out that they had expelled me. The real reason for the expulsion, though, was explained to me in Kiev, where a diplomat in the Russian embassy in Kyiv read a statement to me, and that statement said that the competent organs, which is the phrase that's used in Russia for the security police, for the FSB, have determined that your presence on the territory of the Russian Federation is undesirable, and you're banned from entering Russia. That was the real reason. Now, in other words, I was excluded from the country at the demand of the FSB. All of this stuff about visa deadlines, that's all a pretense that they created so that they can have something with which to confuse people after the fact.
I was surprised they did this to you on the eve of the Sochi Winter Olympics. They've been taking some steps to show that they're a little bit more open, a little bit more moderate, and all of a sudden they expel you. Does that suggest they're about to engage in a more serious crackdown on foreign correspondents?
I think it's probably more selective than that. I think that there are certain people that they just don't want in Russia at this time. By all appearances, I'm one of them. I think that the topics that need to be raised in Russia are going to be raised by very, very few people. And the Russians are well aware of who those people might be.
Now, when David Sattler went on the offensive, of course Russia had to respond. But but their answers were quite vague. Now, RT, otherwise known as Russia Today, which is the Russian government's 24-hour news channel, always says that they're impartial and they try to give a well-balanced story. Well, in the story that they ran right after that interview on RT, the only thing that you kind of get from it is they're trying to discredit him. Now, listen for yourself.
American journalist David Satter has been barred from entering Russia for 5 years. Officials say he breached the terms of his visa.
Satter himself says the ban is due to his professional activity. He's been working for the US-founded Radio Free Liberty in Moscow since September. Primetime's Irina Galushka has more on this story. And to start things off, Irina, good evening. Could you please tell us about Russia's official explanation in more detail?
Well, that's right. According to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Mr. Satter, upon arriving to Moscow, after he's been in Moscow for quite some time, he actually failed to get to go to the migration service and get his multiple entry visa, which would allow him to stay in Moscow, in Russia, for an extended period of time and also will allow him to travel back and forth. He actually was about 4 days late after failing to show up when he was supposed to. And once he actually gotten to the Federal Migration Service, he was informed of the fact that he had a fine to pay and had to be now expelled from Russia. Seems like just several days afterwards, if you look at the chronology of the events, he went to Kiev, where he seems to have spent most of December. And in Kiev, he was actively participating in promotion of a film, a documentary film based on one of the books that Satter has written about the USSR and the post-Soviet Russia. And only right around Christmas, and we're talking about December, at the end of December, when he was tried to get his Russian visa yet again from the Russian embassy, was when he was told that actually he was banned from entering Russia for the period of 5 years. And only now it seems like we're hearing about these events which really have looked like they've been transpiring for just over a month or so.
Yeah, what about the journalist himself, David Satter? What was his reaction to this news?
Well, of course, you can expect that the reaction to be that of indignation, and Mr. Satter has lost absolutely no time in portraying this as a personal attack, where he is being essentially followed or persecuted, you can even say, by the Russian authorities. And he says that he called the entire affair crazy, and he said that this is largely because he's been covering Russia and the events in the country in a way that's non-desirable by Russian authorities. Again, this is according to Mr. Satter himself. And he says that he's been an open critic of the Kremlin, but never, ever has he been treated in this way in more than four decades of covering the events and the situation in the country. And this is, of course, once you keep in mind the fact that Mr. Satter has written several books about Russia, has written several books about the Soviet Union, in which he has essentially portrayed it as the ultimate empire of evil, where people have been, where it seems like everybody has been brainwashed and lived unhappily ever after. And I just read some excerpts from his books today, and so I got a bit of a glimpse of his writings. So he says that because he's been highly critical of the Soviet era and of the post-Soviet Russia, that is the reason why he's not being allowed into the country. And of course, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs has underlined the fact that this is not the way that they see the situation. They insist that Mr. Satter simply broke the rules which apply to everybody, no matter what their political or personal views happen to be.
Irina, on a broader scale, how many people have been expelled from Russia on account of migration law violations?
Well, if you look at the cases involving journalists, for example, who have been banned or expelled from entering Russia, again due to visa for failing to comply with visa or document requirements, there's been, I counted six of them since the end of the so-called Cold War. There's been an interesting headline, one of the many headlines concerning Mr. Satter's situation today, which said that he was one of the first first journalist to be expelled. This simply isn't so. I mean, if we go back to 2011, there's been the history with Luke Harding, who's also been expelled from Russia, again, because he failed to comply with, to receive his paperwork on time. But overall, again, according to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, there's some half a million of people who have been banned from entering Russia at this particular moment for the duration of anywhere from 3 years to 10 years. And all of them have been banned largely because they have violated the migration laws. And of course, having said that, it is probably just to underline the fact that Russian migration laws and Russian migration laws do involve a lot of paperwork and a lot of bureaucratic caveats, but it doesn't mean that if a person is an American or any other or a journalist of any other nationality, he has been treated by the Russian authorities like in a manner that is uncharacteristic. Again, we're talking about half a million people who have also violated the migration laws and have been banned from entering the country, and Mr. Satter just happens to be one of them.
Irina Glushko with our top story this Tuesday evening. Thank you.
Now, there is an old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same. I'm sure that over the next few months, we will find out the real reason why his visa was denied and why he has been barred from entering Russia. I should mention that it has happened before where a journalist who maybe, say, is based in Russia had to get his visa renewed, and it was done either on the last day or the day after his current visa was expiring. Normally, all you do is pay a fine, and then you get the new visa. But in this case, it seems they changed the laws in his case. Well, we'll have to see how everything else turns out. You are listening to Media Network Plus, coming to you from PCJ Radio International. Last January the 11th, which was in fact last week, we did something that we had never done before, and that was we did a live edition of Media Network Plus. We targeted the program to listeners in North America on our shortwave frequency of 11880. Now, there were those who are listening to this program on the World Radio Network and through our partner stations right now who have written us saying, well, what was that show like and what did you have on it? Well, let's take a little listen now to an excerpt from that program.
On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is Media Network Plus.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio International. This is the first time that we are actually doing the show live. We're broadcasting right now to North America on 11880 and to listeners in Port Moresby in Papua New Guinea on the Radio Australia FM frequency of 101.9 FM. It's very nice to have you with me today. Now, before we get to the things that we have on today's show, I just want to tell you that we are giving away a little prize. It's not a radio. It's something else. It is radio-related. It's from a radio station. In fact, actually, it's from Radio Free Asia. We have a really nice coffee mug from Radio Free Asia and a couple of pins that they issued for the Olympic Games, the last Olympic Games. Now, if you want to have a chance to win this, just send us an email with your name and phone number to pcjcontest@gmail.com. That's pcjcontest@gmail.com. I hope that you're getting good reception in North America. And before we get to our first item today, I want to talk a bit about a moment, on something related to us. People are asking, you know, how do we do the program live? Well, I should tell you right now that when you're hearing my voice, you're hearing it around 16 seconds after I speak. Now, this is actually how we're doing it. I'm actually not at our office right now. I'm actually at home. In fact, I'm only like 2 meters away from my kitchen, 2 meters away from my living room, 4 meters away from my bathroom and bedroom. And the reason is because modern technology in doing radio. I remember 20 years ago when I was in Montreal, I used to do a morning show And so many times I was wishing that I could just wake up, walk to my own home studio and do the show that way instead of having to drive an hour into the city. But of course, nowadays, you can do this kind of thing. So what's happening now is my voice, of course, is going through a microphone. Some of you may say, you're using something as modern as a microphone. Yes, we are. It's going through a microphone, going through a mixer, going to one computer, which is only about a meter away. It's taking the audio and digitizing it. That signal is being fed by a T1 connection to our office, which is around 3 kilometers away. From there, our master control room is taking that audio and then converting it to another format with a special IP number that the relay in Okeechobee, Florida is clicking on and receiving the audio. The same goes for the relay on FM in Port Moresby. That's how it's being done. There's about a 16-second delay for that whole process to take place. The kilobytes for audio that we're running at is 80 kilobytes, which is, it doesn't sound like a lot, but there is a reason for running it at that bit rate. Now, a number of weeks ago, actually about 2 months ago, we did one audio stream test, and we were running at, I think it was 320, which sounds fantastic. From our end, we had no problem, but the problem, of course, is the person or the relay station at the other end receiving the audio. If their internet connection is not great, that is a problem. So we lowered it, and hopefully, at some point in the future, we will increase it again to put it up a little bit higher, especially when we start streaming our programs live on the internet. Anyway, good morning to everyone, and I hope you're having a nice coffee today. I do, before we get to our first item today, I want to say a shout out to two people listening right now that contacted me just a few moments ago. First, Sumaya, all the way in India, who's listening via a remote receiver through the website Global Tuners, and also to our good friend Stephen Mason. Stephen Mason in the United States. So, Stephen, thank you for, you know, letting us, you know, tuning in today, and hopefully you'll be able to tune in tomorrow. Once again, the email address to enter the contest to win that nice Radio Free Asia mug and those nice two pins is pcjcontest@gmail.com. Now, we're not going to be announcing the winner today. We will be announcing the winner tomorrow on Happy Station. In fact, tomorrow on Happy Station, we're giving away a radio that is, well, so many people are talking about it right now because it is a new radio from Texan, the PL880. So tune in tomorrow to find out how to win. And then, of course, we'll announce the winner of today's prize on tomorrow's transmission. All right, let's talk about radio now. One of the big stories that people have been following for a long time is Radio Moscow, or Voice of Russia World Service, or, as they're now calling themselves on air, Radio VR. There was a lot of talk that at the beginning of this year they would, well, completely leave shortwave. Now, they haven't left shortwave. In fact, they're still out there, but they do have a reduced schedule. There's, of course, been a lot of changes taking place in Russia concerning the media landscape. Voice of Russia World Service, it was just announced, has been, quote-unquote, liquidated. I know that sounds overly dramatic, and it's probably not exactly liquidated in the sense that most people would think of, but, you know, the media landscape has changed in Russia, that's for sure. And just about 2 hours ago, our frequency manager, Victor Gunatelica, reminded me of something that, it's a story that I originally heard over 20 years ago from a friend of mine by the name of David Smith. Now, I met David when he was working at Radio Canada International, and he told me this story in the hallway that I never forgot. Now, today you give you a little bit of information about David. David worked in commercial radio in South Africa. He worked at Radio Canada International. He left RCI in 1990, I believe, to go work at Radio Netherlands. After he left Radio Netherlands, he moved back to South Africa And he worked for United Nations Radio in Africa and then in New York. And then he went back to South Africa and has been setting up radio stations in the Democratic Republic of Congo and everything else. But he has a very nice story about Radio Moscow. And I thought that right now we would take a listen to it now to see if there's anybody out there that can identify with it.
I listened to all kinds of radio. I was 9 years old at the time, and like any shortwave fanatic, you know, I scanned. In fact, it was before scanned. They were only analog radios, no digital. So, you know, I'd search the band for whatever I could find. And Radio Moscow had a program that I particularly liked as a nine-year-old because geography was my favorite subject at school. And on Wednesdays on Radio Moscow, they had a program called Round About the Soviet Union. And every Wednesday, that program would describe geographically a region of the USSR. So I found that very interesting, you know. But, you know, for people who wondered why I listened to Radio Moscow, I also listened to Radio Tirana. I listened to the VOA. I listened to Radio Havana, Cuba. I listened to KOL Israel. I listened to everything I could find. But let's talk about Radio Moscow. I listened regularly, and my mother, whose family comes from the former Soviet Union, and I should make it even clearer, left when the former Soviet Union came into existence, because they weren't exactly on the winning side in 1917. she didn't like the idea of me listening to Radio Moscow. And I don't want to embarrass my mother. I guess I already have, as this story will illustrate. She was nervous. She thought that anything regarding communism and people in North America, especially who came from that part of the world, would lead to the Mounties, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, having a file on those people. And so she came into my room one day where I listened to the radio and said, David, don't listen to that because the Mounties have a file on us. And she truly was nervous about this. This was a long time ago. This was 1969. So I didn't really, she told me I couldn't listen to Radio Moscow, so of course I had to. But I had to find a way to solve the problem, to bring my mother on board. So I did what any shortwave listener does. I wrote to Radio Moscow, and I wrote to them and said, "Dear Radio Moscow, Moscow mailbag, I'm having a problem with my mother. Can you help? She doesn't want me listening to Radio Moscow because she thinks we'll get into some kind of trouble with the local authorities." I'm sure the language I used was much simpler than that. But anyway, I wrote them, and I'm sure this is the kind of letter they love getting in Moscow. Because they answered, as they always did. They always answered. They sent a letter back to me and said, "Dear David, please ask your mother to be by the radio at such and such a time and such a day." Okay. And without telling my mother why, I invited her into my room where the radio was at the designated time, turned on the radio, and there was Vladimir Posner. And, you know, Radio Moscow listeners and people who watch Russia Today will know who Vladimir Posner is. A lot of Americans know him because he was on a popular American talk show for a while. In any case, Vladimir Posner had an answer to my question for my mother. And he said her name on the air. And he said, "Please don't worry about your son, David, listening to Radio Moscow." And he gave our address and names, and I saw my mother changing color, red, green, white. She was terrified, angry. But he continued delivering his message. He said, "You know, the USSR and Canada are two great northern countries. We've got a lot in common, and we work together to create a better life for all," and the usual sort of stuff. And all very positive, you know, it's nation building, friendship building in the north. And my mother was so angry when this was over. "You will never listen to that radio in this house again. We're in big trouble." And that's when I discovered headphones.
And that was an excerpt of our live transmission that we did last week on January the 11th for listeners on shortwave in North America. During that broadcast, we did have something that was actually a lot of fun and got a pretty good response. We did sort of a greatest hits of shortwaves where we played a bunch of interval signals, and a number of you wrote in saying, for a second, they thought they were listening to the wrong station. Well, we are going to be doing it again in the future, and when we do, we will announce it on the program. Well, it's now time to take a look at what we can expect propagation-wise over the next 7 days. Here's our propagation editor, Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from January 18th to January 24th, 2014. a 10.7 centimeter flux of 140 on January 18th and 19th, dropping down to 130 January 20th. January 21st through January 24th, 125 for the 10.7 centimeter flux. The A index is 5 all week long from January 18th to January 22nd, spiking on January 23rd at 10, down to 8 on January 24th. The KP index is stable at 2 almost all week long from January 18th to January 22nd, and then January 23rd and 24th, we'll see a KP index of 3. Sunspots 1944, 48, 49, 50, 52, and 53, along with 54, are present this week. Departing sunspot AR1944 poses a warning threat for M-class solar flares this week. However, this will not be Earth-directed. No coronal holes have been observed this week, so that means no solar winds. See our website for more at www.pcjmedia.com/RPROP. Back to you, Keith.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. And guess what? We're now out of time. If you want to contact us to let us know what you think of the program, we'd love to hear from you. Our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. You can also listen to this program again and past editions by visiting the website for the show, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. That's pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. So until next time, friends, I'm Keith Parent wishing you well. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you again in 7 days' time. So until then, so long, take care. 73 and 88 to the ladies.